I've already felt the presence of the Lord here today. I just want to ask you, before we open up and get into the message, if you would just go with me to the throne of God as we pray before we open. Father, so grateful for your presence that has been so rich and real that we've already felt in this service. We could leave here at this moment and say that we have had an encounter with you. But God, I believe that through what you're going to say in these next few moments, that there will be the opportunity for transformation as we partner with you for the work that you want to do. I'm so amazed, Father, that you love each one of us so much that you would clothe your Son in flesh and send him to die for us. What should have been our punishment became his. And so, Father, as we come to you today, we recognize, first of all, that you are still speaking to your people. If we will only open our ears to hear what you have to say, that listening can change everything. Acting upon what we hear and what we know can make a transformation for eternity. So we invite you to come in these next few moments, Lord, to, on your terms, speak to our hearts and do the work that only you can do. And we're going to give you the praise and the glory and the thanksgiving for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, it's no accident that you're here today. It's no accident that you are sitting in that seat, right where you are, and sitting on this planet. That, incidentally, is while you're sitting in your chair, this planet you're sitting on is spinning 1,000 times an hour. While you are sitting in that chair, this planet is hurling through the universe around the sun at 67,000 miles per hour. And you go to Disneyland and get on the teacup ride and get sick. But right now you're sitting in your seat going, it's cool, I do this every day. I spin around 1,000 times an hour, I hurl through the universe at 67,000, I do this every single day. What an amazing God we serve, right? What an amazing God we serve. And this amazing God that we serve wants to talk to you. He wants to speak to you. He's interested in you as an individual. He wants a personal relationship with you. And that is absolutely incredible as we think about it. And we think about how important it is for us then to tune in and to listen and to hear what God has to say. Everyone in this room, everyone on this planet worships something. Everyone has put a priority on something in their lives that they will give their time, their talent, and their treasure to, their attention to, that they will move and act upon what is happening around that particular thing or person or individual. I have friends who don't believe in God, but they worship success, or they worship possessions, or they have business idols that they look up to, or there are particular individuals that they want to dress like, walk like, talk like, and act like. And periodically, I see them trade the one thing they're worshiping for something else. And they went down the road a little ways. They thought, well, that's not in vogue anymore. So now I'm after this, and this is the big thing. And now with prominence of social media, I see it a lot sooner than even having to have the encounter with them. Now they're pursuing this. Now they're after that. Now they're interested in this particular thing. And I just want to do what Elijah did when, you know, we were reading earlier today. I just want to say, why don't you knock it off? Why don't you just choose something that you want to worship and follow it out long enough to see where it's going to go? And if it really is a God, and if it's really worthy of your worship, your money, your time, and your talent, your treasures. Why don't you follow it out long enough to see what's going on? And that's where the people of Elijah's day were, just where the people of our day are, pursuing things that they thought were the cool thing, the right thing for the moment. The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob was old news to these people. They wanted something new, and the nations around them presented them with many options. And in this particular instance, many of them had jumped on the wagon of a god called Baal, and they were bowing to that god. They were using their energies, their time, their talent, their treasures, giving up their children and their futures toward this particular idol of stone that they thought might bring about a transformation, something different in their lives. And Elijah was saying, just as I felt about my friends, why don't you just choose? Why don't you make a choice? Why are you moving around from God to God and pursuing different kinds of worship in your life? Why don't you just say, if God is really God, I'm giving Him everything, I'm devoting everything to Him, I'm giving Him all my attention, all my time, all my treasure, I'm pouring my life into the God who is God. And Elijah decided, hey, we need to have a contest to help you make that decision. And here's what we will do. We will build an altar. And I'm going to have you pretend with me for a moment that these wonderful boxes are stone, okay? Everybody say, boy, that's a heavy boulder you're holding, right? And he said to them, let's build an altar. And here's what we'll do. We'll bring a sacrifice, and we'll say that the God who answers by fire is God. People say, that's pretty cool. That sounds right. I mean, after all, if there is a God, He could do something that we could see, some kind of demonstration of His power, of the fact that He is a God. If he could show up in some way that would convince us all that He's really God. And so that sounds fair to us. So let's do that. The God who answers by fire is going to be God. So that sounded good to the people. And as we began our reading, it said, then Elijah and the prophets of Baal, he said, you go first, for there are many of you. There were 450 of them to one. 450 to one. Guess what? They were outnumbered. Choose one of the bulls and prepare it and call on the name of God, but do not set fire to the wood. And so they prepared one of the bulls and they placed it on the altar. And then they called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, shouting, O Baal, answer us. And there was no reply of any kind. They danced, hobbling around the altar that they had made. And about afternoon, Elijah, he couldn't resist himself, and he begins to mock them a little bit, and he says, you'll have to shout louder, he scoffed, for surely your God, perhaps he is daydreaming or relieving himself. He might have had to go to the bathroom. Or maybe he is away on a trip or asleep, and he needs to be waking up, so shout louder. And so they shouted louder and following their normal custom. You don't think we have idols and gods today? They're all over the place. Our furniture is bowing to one of them, right? Everything faces the vision. We all bow to the vision. We have gods all over the place in our society, as is our custom, as is normal. And for them, it says, they, as following their normal custom, they cut themselves with knives and swords until the blood gushed out. They raved all afternoon until the time of the evening sacrifice, but still no sound, no reply, no response. Elijah just gave them all the time they needed. He wanted the people to see this display, as is your custom. Your God, you sacrifice to, you give everything to, all of your attention, all of your time, all of your energy, your very blood is being spilled out, and He says nothing to you. He's not listening to you. He doesn't care whether your heart is beating. He has no interest in you. has no time for you, has no energy for you, can't even send a spark toward that altar. You've consumed yourself with him, but he doesn't hear you, and he doesn't care about you. And the time for Baal was up, and he hadn't answered, and now Elijah turns, and you know, he said, no pressure, 450 prophets of Baal versus this one lonely prophet of God. He says, you know, plus Elijah had, you know, created this contest. And so there's a lot of pressure on Elijah, a lot of eyes now focused on him. Everybody's saying, okay, you know, this didn't work out like we thought it might. Let's see what your God can do. And I was reminded as I was thinking about this, about those of you who were maybe here a couple of years ago when Miha Dramatescu was here with us from Romania, and he's one of the pastor's friends of ours in Romania, and he came and he shared his testimony, and he was taught, you know, it reminded me of this thing with Elijah, this contest and all the pressure it was on it. And his testimony was during the time of communism, and they were all required to go into the army in Romania, and he had answered that call as a 17-year-old young man, and his dad was a pastor, and he wore his cross, and he had his faith kind of, you know, people knew that he was a Christian. And so one of the commanders comes to him today and says, why do you believe in this ancient God? He says, it's a false God, and I'm going to test you every chance I get. Your God, you're wasting your time, you're wasting your energy. It's fake, it's false. Once you get into the age of science and start living like all the rest of us. And he said, by the way, he said, when I was out playing soccer earlier today, he said, I lost my keys. He said, you are going to pray to your God and ask him where my keys are. And then we're going out to that soccer field and you're going to go to the place where my keys are and find it. And if you don't, you're going to pay for it dearly. Worried all day long. And as the evening approached and it was dark, the commander comes and grabs him and drags him out to that field. How many of you were here and remember his testimony? Drags him out to that soccer field. And he says to him, you're going to pray and ask God. And he says, I'm praying as we're walking out to the soccer field. God, please help me. And he said, from the distance, in the dark, they see this figure kind of walking towards them. And finally, this figure gets here. And the guy says, hey, you. He points to the commander. He goes, weren't you here playing soccer earlier? And he says, yeah. And he says, well, I found these keys. Are they yours? The God who answers by fire is God. And so I think as I read through this about Elijah taking 12 stones to build his altar as a reminder to Israel of the 12 tribes of Israel and all that God had done for them, and as he's laying these stones down, he's saying, do you remember when God provided for us, how that he brought the 12 tribes of Israel out of Egyptian bondage? Do you remember that? How God brought us out of bondage? We were in slavery. Our future was about slavery. Our children's, we weren't thinking about the prestigious colleges they were going to go to. We were thinking, I hope they go to a good slave owner. Are you hearing me? I hope that when they come and take them from me, and they might even be 4, 5, 6 years old, and they pull them off into slavery, that they treat them kindly. I hope that I get a chance to see them, to tell them that I love them. And God, do you remember that? How God did that? He brought us all out of slavery and into freedom. Do you remember how we came up to the Red Sea and behind us was our enemy and in front of us was the Red Sea and we had no hope and God spoke and Moses put his staff down and the sea parted and it was dry and we crossed over 1 million people strong. And as we got to the other side, our enemies were chasing from behind and they went down into the seabed just as we had. And God closed that sea over. Do you remember when God did that? Do you remember how he closed the sea over the top of our enemies? You remember how he brought us into the land that he promised, he said would be our land, and how we were victorious in battle, and how we began the conquest, and we took the land that God said belonged to us, for he had taken it from a people who pursued a false god, and he had given it to the people who would belong to and believe in and trust and follow the living God. Do you remember that? You can't seriously be thinking about walking away from a God who keeps his promises. You can't seriously be thinking about walking away from a God who listens, who cares, who's compassionate, who's loving, and turning to a God of stone. And in that moment, Elijah built the altar. He was reminding the people that they belonged to the living God. Do you know that you belong to the living God? And as Elijah prepared the sacrifice, the people were reminded of the promises of God. And over and over again, he begins to bring back to their memory all of the promises that God made and all how God has fulfilled those promises. And not only did God say that he would take care of you and he would provide for you, and he has, and we've seen God do that, but he's also promised that there's one coming who's not just going to push sin back, but he's going to pay the very price for sin once and for all. And they're reminded of the sacrifices that had been made, and that God was continuing to reach out to them, to bring them to himself. He wanted them to belong to him. There was no need to try to clean up, to try to get better. The price is paid. And we read that he said to the people of Israel, he said, fill four large jars with water and pour the water over the offering and the wood. And after they had done this, he said, do the same thing again. Four large jars of water poured over the sacrifice and over the wood. And he said, do the same thing again a third time. And when they had finished, he said, now do it the third time. And so they did it as he said. And the water ran around the altar and filled up the trenches. If you can get the picture in your mind, this is completely soaked and drenched in water. Three times the people were invited to drench the altar and the sacrifices in water. And you might be saying to yourself, that's cool. Because, you know, here's the prophets of Baal. They have a dry sacrifice, you know, and maybe even by trickery, you know, they could bang a couple of flint stones together and get a spark, and it's very, very dry, and maybe this is, you know, they could start a fire, but God's wet the sacrifice completely. It's soaked, and God's going to burn up, you know, a completely wet and soaked sacrifice. But I want to take you back to verse number 1 so we can get better understanding of what God is doing, because we didn't read that this morning. But verse 1 says, in the third year of the drought, the Lord said to Elijah, go present yourself to King Ahab. He goes on to say, because I'm going to bring rain to the land. Yes. 3 years of drought they were living in. The most precious commodity in the time of drought is water. They didn't have water trucks. They didn't have pumps. They had crude wells that were dug down and hoping that they would survive and last through the drought, that there would be enough water. Whatever was on hand, and that was it. There was nothing coming. There were no rescuers coming. FEMA's not coming. Nothing is coming to rescue them. There are 3 years of drought, and every day they're saying, please let it rain today. Please fill up the pond in the back. Please fill up the lakes. Please fill up the streams. Let it rain. Let it rain. Because water was so precious and is today, even to us, so precious. And they didn't have it. And Elijah's saying to them, take what is precious to you and pour it out to God. Take what is valued to you and spill it out and see what God can do when you take what is precious to you and you pour it out to God. And then Elijah called the people. He said, come over here. They crowded around as he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been torn down. And Elijah invited the people to come close, to gather around the altar. And I believe as he did, he's reminding them again about God's faithfulness. And he said, you remember in the wilderness when you needed food? Do you remember when the people cried out for food and they wanted food and God opened the heavens and he rained down manna and he fed his hungry people? Do you remember when God's people were thirsty in the wilderness and the desert places and they cried out to God for something to drink? And God brought forth water from the stone and created a mighty river that began to flow, and you drank from that pure water, and it sustained you, and it took care of you. And now Elisha says, bring what is most precious to you, and pour it out to the God who is faithful. Yes. Bring what's most precious to you, and pour it out to the God who listens. Bring what's most precious to you, and pour it out to the God who speaks to us. Bring what's most precious to you and pour it out to the God who loves you. Bring what's most precious to you and pour it out to the God who provides for you and your every need. Up to this point, the people had poured out their precious belongings, their food, their water, their skills, their time, and as was tradition, in some cases, even their children to a false god. A God who didn't care, a God who didn't listen, and a God who didn't speak to them. And then Elijah just says this simple prayer before God does his thing. And here's what Elijah says, because sometimes we think, man, you know, I just got to do this really powerful prayer. And this is very simple what Elijah said. Oh Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, prove today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant. Prove that I have done all of this at your command. Lord, answer me. Answer me so that these people will know that you, O God, are God, and that you have brought them back to yourself. Elisha wanted the people to know that they belonged to God. He wanted the people to know that God wanted to know them personally and wanted them to know him personally. And it says immediately, the fire of the Lord flashed down from heaven and burned up the young bull, the wood, the stone, the dust. It licked up the water in the trench. It takes 3,000 degrees to burn up a stone. 3,000 degrees to burn a stone. And the Bible says that it even licked up the water in the trench. It took everything. It burned everything. There wasn't even a thimble full of water left. You couldn't put your hand after everything cool off and dried in there and feel any moisture at all. God completely consumed the sacrifice. I want to invite our worship team to come, prepare to come back. This past month or so, there's been a song on my heart. They're not going to lead it today, but it's one that has kind of stuck with me. And the first line of one of the verses says, isn't the name of Jesus all we need? Isn't the name of Jesus all we need? He's the way, the truth, the light, the only way to God. Isn't the name of Jesus all we need? The Bible says, and when all the people saw it, they fell down on the ground and they cried out, "The Lord, He is God. Yes, the Lord, He is God." There are times in our life when we come to the end of us. We come to the end of our strength. We come to the end of our charm. We come to the end of our resources. We come to the end of our hope. That good news is we've come to the beginning of God. When we've extinguished all the things that we think we can accomplish, we've come to the beginning where God can start with us. It's in that moment that we can begin with God. John chapter 10, verse 27, we read earlier, "My sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me." Hearing from God, there's a correlation between belonging to God and being able to hear from God. I'm going to invite you to stand with me, and I want to ask our usher team if they would prepare to dispense the elements that represent the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing more symbolic to our belonging to God that we can do than to celebrate the Lord's table. They're going to be passing out that which represents the body of the Lord, that which represents the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you hang on to those for a moment? Worship team will lead us in song in a moment, and when I come back, we'll receive these elements together. If you're here today and you're saying, "I don't know if I really belong to God," intrepid about maybe even participating in this aspect of the service, it's very simple for you to belong to God today. Trade in the false gods that we have been pursuing, that we've been after, for the real living God. Pouring out what is most precious to us, to Him. And we can do that by just saying this prayer. You'll say it with me today. "Dear Lord, I come to You just as I am. I ask You to forgive me of all my sins. I ask You to be the Lord and the leader of my life. I give myself to You. I believe that You died for me, and I believe You rose again. Jesus, be Lord of me. In Jesus' name, amen."